It has been an action-packed couple of months for East Lansing's Sam Singh. A few weeks ago, the ex-mayor city council person was sworn in as the 69th district's state rep. That followed a three-week honeymoon in Southeast Asia with his bride, Carrie, and not that long after he was sworn in at the Capitol. He's just back from watching President Obama's inauguration in Washington, D.C., but the parties, and indeed the honeymoon, is over with important business to address at the Capitol. Sorry, Sam, I couldn't resist saying that. It's not that often you have an opportunity to actually say that, and I actually had an opportunity to say it, so I couldn't resist. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
And I'll congratulate you again for all the relevant reasons. There are a bunch here, obviously. First off, tell us how the first few weeks at the state capitol have been going.
Well, it's been an exciting time for us. As you know, 2 weeks ago we had our formal swearing in of the legislature and the start of the session. As a personal, aside, I had my parents come up and enjoy that day with me. My parents immigrated from India in the 1960s, and I was blessed to be elected and be the first Indian American elected to the state legislature. And so you can imagine my parents' pride as being part of that day. And we had a lot of fun with it. I also wore one of the traditional Indian suits with the Nehru jacket and enjoyed the day. And then the following week, our governor gave the state of the state and began to outline those issues. And this week is our first week of session. We're waiting for our committee assignments, and we're getting ready to get to work.
So you still don't know what committees you're on. You've applied for several in particular?
We have. We've talked to our Democratic leadership, and the leadership has sent those on to the Speaker of the House, and we should hear hopefully today or tomorrow the final setup of those committees. I've asked to be on appropriations. I've asked specifically to be on the Higher Ed Subcommittee of Appropriations as well, and there'll be a number of subcommittee assignments if I'm chosen to be on appropriations. But I just felt my background of having spent 10 years at the Michigan Nonprofit Association looking at the state budget on behalf of nonprofit organizations, along with my ties and connections to Michigan State University, it just made sense for me to look for those positions around higher education and appropriations to make sure we were investing in the appropriate levels.
What is it too early to ask what you've learned that's most impressed you so far?
Well,
now that you're actually a state rep.
Well, you know, I think it's really the individual process of how legislation comes forward. You know, we were obviously involved in testifying in front of bills, making sure our ideas and issues came forward, whether it was through the Nonprofit Association or in my local work as the mayor of East Lansing. But now being in the midst of it and, you know, having my first 10 bills being drafted and working with the Legislative Service Bureau and so forth, some of those smaller intricacies that I didn't have the opportunity to be part of has been a pleasure to watch and to learn from. We've got such great talented staff working for the House of Representatives and for state government, and so it's been a great pleasure to work with them.
Why did you choose to pursue state office, both generally and specifically?
Well, I think in general, you know, as my parents, we kind of grew up in Southeast Michigan, and as I came to Michigan State, my parents had always talked about giving back to the community, giving back to the country that, you know, allowed my parents a great opportunity. My father came here to work for Ford Motor Company. He retired from there. My mother raised me and my brother, and so those values of kind of giving back and being involved were both part of who I was and who my brother is. My brother runs a nonprofit organization. I spent a number of years working in public service on the local level. But as I began to see some of the larger issues facing the state and this lack of investment, whether it was in education, whether it was with our infrastructure, I began to see that that wasn't the Michigan I grew up in. And it was made a decision shortly after the 2010 election that voice needed to be there and that I could be a person to help talk about those issues. And that's why I ran for the state legislature.
This tension between the parties in the aftermath of Right to Work that gets written about so much, do you see that yet just in the few weeks that you've been there, or is that more apparent to a longer serving member?
Well, you can definitely feel it when you're talking to people, when you're talking to the citizens and even the legislators who were, you know, coming back from last session. The last 2 months, the lame duck session, I think really tore apart some of the fabric of kind of any bipartisan conversation. you know, these were issues that should have been dealt with throughout the process. The fact that, you know, such a controversial issue like right to work, such an important issue to the history of the state, weren't given any opportunity for public hearings, that they were kind of jammed through by using a substitute bill that it was signed almost at the late hour, you know, by the governor. Those things left, I think, a bad taste, not only to those of us that are involved in politics, but to the general public. And I think there's a lot of trust that has to be built.
But you're picking up on that tension in the few weeks you've been there?
Absolutely. Now, I will say that, you know, the remarks of the Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger, the remarks of the governor have all talked about we need to be bipartisan and that there are big issues in this term that we should be looking towards.
Yes.
I welcome that, and I was pleased to hear that. But again, we just came off of, 2 months of very non-reality towards bipartisanship. It was almost pushing down an agenda because they lost some seats in the state house. You know, if those five members who lost those seats, the five seats that we gained, many of those pieces of legislation would not have passed. And so I think what we're really going to hopefully see is a move towards more bipartisanship because there's more Democrats in the state house. But at the same time, we have to wait and see if the actions are really there. The words are there right now, but we have to wait and see if the actions are there.
Current State is talking with 69th District State Rep Sam Singh. It's really interesting because you're just back from Washington attending President Obama's inauguration. 4 years ago, his speech this time around is being interpreted as being a lot more confrontative than the kind of let's all come together vibe that I think he created with his first. And some interpreters say that is just an acknowledgement of the hard reality of the past 4 years trying to run the country. I have to ask you, do you fear becoming more cynical the longer that you serve the state?
Well, I hope not. You know, my public service and my history of public service has been one where we've actually cooperated. And I think oftentimes on the local level, it's easier to cooperate. I know many times we had split government in East Lansing, though we didn't ever run as Democrats and Republicans. We had Democrats and Republicans on the board. But we often, you know, reached across the aisle. We talked about each other. We got to know each other. And I think that's what happens in the realm of term limits. When you only have 6 years, a lot of people don't have that time to build those relationships and that trust. I'm going to make sure that I spend that time not only looking at legislation and representing my constituents, but also going across the aisle and reaching out. I want to be able to see that we solve some of these large problems, because I do think there are some significant common ground we can come around to. And my hope is, based on my past experience of bipartisanship, that we can continue it on the state level.
Would you like to undo term limits?
Oh, absolutely. I voted against term limits in the beginning. I don't think they're healthy for the conversation. I know that there's been really two kind of camps about that. You know, one is about repealing it completely. Others have talked about extending it potentially to 14 years. You could serve in one chamber up to 14 years. Right now, you can do 6 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate. So there's been some conversation. Maybe combine all of that into one chamber, and that allows people with more experience.
You like that?
I think that's a good step forward. I mean, I would be ready to repeal it completely. But if it's a staging process that the public wants, I'd be willing to consider it. Because in the end, term limits, as one of my friends and mentors, Lynn Jondal, has always said, is mandatory in experience law. And that's what we're looking for in term limits. You know, you never go to a brain surgeon, you know, who only had a couple years of experience. But yet we want our lawmakers who are looking at our budgets, investing in our long-term strategy as a state, and we want them to have less than 6 years of experience.
How do your 69th District constituents feel about the governor's road funding framework? What are you hearing from them, and how do you feel about that conversation?
Well, I think if you ask anybody, there is the understanding that our roads have been underfunded. Our roads are in poor condition. Our bridges are in poor condition. So I think there's an understanding, not only from the 69th District, but I think by Michigan citizens as a whole, that we need to do something on road funding. It's something that should have been done in the last session by the governor and the legislature. They failed to be able to address those issues. And now we have an opportunity to take a look at it. The real question is going to come down to the details. And I think that's what we're waiting for the governor to lead. His remarks in the State of the State were, I think, well received about the need, but there were no details. And I think once we take a look at the details, we'll see if we can find some common ground.
Tell us about attending the inauguration on Monday.
It was a wonderful experience. It was my first time at an inauguration. Obviously, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance around these events. But I will tell you that the speech that the president made touched me. I thought it was a very inspirational speech. I thought it was a bold speech. Here he is talking about the next 4 years, how we've come over a recession, that we are, making some significant changes as a country. But he asked that we take a look at, significant issues, issues like pay equity, climate change, making sure that marriage equality is, part of the conversation. These are similar issues that we're dealing with in Michigan. And so, as I listened to those words, I reflected on, what will be my service over the next few years as a state legislator? How do I impact climate change in Michigan? How do I take a look at making sure that pay equity is there for all of our citizens, make sure that women are being paid the same amount as a man for the same amount of work? How do I make sure that gay and lesbian couples can actually take a look at their relationships and have it recognized by the state of Michigan? And those are big issues and issues that I'm passionate about, and I was pleased to see that the president talked about them.
Back to the road funding discussion, do you expect the Democratic caucus to resist cooperating with the governor?
Well, I don't think the Democratic caucus will resist just to resist because it's coming from a Republican governor. I think there's an openness for us to take a look at the issue and how we fund, some type of change. But there are some big issues that have to be resolved. The previous examples of discussion around road funding was a strong focus on state dollars and not enough on local funding. If you take a look at local streets compared to state trunk lines, there's a larger need in local streets. And so one of the things I'll be looking for is to make sure that the governor is addressing local street funding for our communities across the state. They've taken a significant amount of revenue sharing out of local communities over the past decade, and we need to help local communities. So part of this for me will be, what's the ratio between state funding and local funding? I'm also a big proponent of mass transit. We've got a great system here in mid-Michigan with CATA, and I want to make sure that we're funding mass transit. Again, there are always parts of those conversations, and the real details when they come out are going to be those areas around mass transit and local and state levels of funding that I'm going to be paying close attention to.
And regarding any user fee or higher registration costs as well, there are middle and working class people who are already pretty pinched who could arguably use a break from higher taxes and fees. How does that figure into your thinking?
Well, absolutely. I think you're right, especially over the last 2 years. I mean, we've taken a significant amount of the tax burden away from businesses and put them on the middle class and the working poor. We obviously put on our seniors a pension tax for the first time. We took earned income tax credits that working poor, these were people who were working two jobs often to try to make the ends meet, and we took a tax credit away from them to fund, some of our business taxes. And so I'm definitely hearing from those people who've been, kind of pinched in this economy, but then also saw some of the resources that they used to get from the state be removed. And so we're going to have to find the right balance to make sure those that are using our roads are paying their fair share, and especially those that are damaging our roads and are paying their fair share. And so that's going to be part of the equation.
And you have to be the best traveled member of the Michigan legislature.
Well, I've been really blessed to have the opportunity to travel. And, I think that also informs who I am and the legislation I'll be pursuing. Because, again, we are in a global economy. And if we don't learn from what's happening across the world, I think we're not going to be as competitive as we can be.
Everybody remembers your, was it 18 months? 18 months you were on the going around the world?
Yeah, I wanted to, follow a dream that I had as a young child, and I took some of my money that I had saved up to get an executive MBA, and I traveled the world for a little under 18 months, but ended up going to all seven continents, ended up in about 40-some countries, and got to really experience the world. and got to see elections happen in their countries, got to see the economic downturn of our country, as well as the world in 2008 and 2009, and really see what was happening. And so it was just a great learning experience, and I want to use that learning experience here in the legislature.
And we've got under a minute here, Sam, but you added a couple more countries on your honeymoon. Where did you and your bride go?
Well, we wanted to go someplace where we could really get an opportunity to explore history, but also enjoy the weather. And so we ended up in South Asia, in Cambodia, Vietnam, and Thailand, and just found a great welcoming people and a wonderful time for us to spend with each other after a really hard-fought campaign.
That's great. This has been a great conversation. I hope we can have you back soon.
Look forward to it.
State Rep. Sam Singh, thank you.